Hey, everybody. Welcome to Death Valley Recap Part 2. I thought recapping that trip last week would be so much more exciting than it actually was.
Did people not like it?
No, I don't know if they liked it or not.
People upset by it? Did it bother people? Sorry, we were late to our own program, per usual. But I thought that we would be on time because we don't have Tyler here distracting us.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's my fault.
But then you and I were in mid-sentence talking about something out in the hallway, and then some blonde
sort of
came up, started playing with Stanley.
Yeah, it's her fault. Her fault. That's 6 seconds.
Threw everything off. So I got back to my tweets, Mike. I've been dead on Twitter for a while. I found myself at a bar last night by myself. No good conversation, so I decided to read my mentions.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them. I was getting through, you know, 2 months worth. So they add up, and I try and keep in touch with people. You know, a lot of movie recommendations. It's like, why don't you listen to the fucking show? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not to be mean, but I mean, really.
Why don't I listen to the show?
No,
why don't I listen to the show.
One of the people asking me for movie. Got any movie recommendations? That's all I do every week. We talk about 8 movies,
yeah,
at least.
Kinda.
Usually 10. But somebody.
I just thought of something else to talk about.
I can't remember his name, but he asked that I stop sucking on my electric cigarette directly into the microphone because it was killing him. He's been off nicotine for a while. Can't remember your name, sir, but I apologize.
I saw some dude, some washed-up rock star guy.
I had some good news for him.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Will not be sucking into the electronic cigarettes anymore because I'm back on the real thing.
You're a man. Man up.
Quit that quitting thing.
That's funny because I was at a bar last night for 3.5 hours.
I'm going to start quitting again next week, all right? For all those people that pull for me, that they feel bad when I start polluting my lungs. So you saw an old aging rocket dude?
Well, whatever. He got into his. He was a douche.
Oh, real quick. 1-800-LOUD-191. Welcome to the After Disaster. Welcome to the program. I am Anderson Cowan. That is Mike.
All Death Valley, all the time.
And Ty Ty, who I'm calling Night Ty now because he's in New York for the next 3 weeks of his life. Jesus. What could he be doing over there? That's a big mission that he's building.
Yeah, I'd like to know what he's doing all day. Like, what his work actually entails. This dude got into his SUV after cutting me off and getting gas.
Are we talking about Tyler now or back
to the
Rocket?
No, this dude and took a big hit off his electronic. Mm-hmm. Giant electronic cigarette.
Yeah, I don't like the big ones. It makes me feel douchey.
Okay, but the entire cab of his SUV filled with that fake smoke.
That could be weed. A lot of people smoke the weed through those things.
You know what? Maybe it was really
smoke. Yeah.
Because it was just this white puff that filled the entire.
Welcome to your Thursday or Friday, depending on when Night Eye gets us up. Got some big, big news.
Mm.
It's going to make people very happy. It will make me happy at the very
cool.
least.
Cool. Yeah. Can I tell you why I'm late?
I didn't just get this. No one knows that you're late except for me.
My alarm went off. I'm leaving on time. I go downstairs. There's an elderly woman in a truck full of mattresses. She's my neighbor. Mm-hmm. Can't get out of the driveway. Can't back up. 14 minutes to go, probably 15 feet.
How many got out? Pickup truck.
Two. Yeah. She was just scared. She got out.
Two.
I went up and explained to her, I need to be somewhere at 8.
Were the mattresses soiled?
You want me to help you? Oh, no. I got it. And then 14 goddamn minutes. I'm sitting there. I got out of my car several times.
Hey, believe that it's 14 minutes when he says 14 minutes, because I'm sure Mike was timing.
She,
I'm sure of it.
I absolutely was timing because 7:36 is when it started. She, she got out 4 times to look at her progress, which I swear to God, without embellishing, was mere inches, like 4 inches. She would get out and look at it,
null and void,
and then she'd get back in and she'd pull forward again and just erase her progress. She couldn't do it, and I was having a complete anxiety attack.
Yeah, Mike's parking spot is behind his building, and it's just one tiny, very, very narrow way in, way out. So it's a bad place to be if you're fleeing cops.
Then I got behind a woman in an SUV who was afraid to pass the truck next to her that was going like 45. So she just stayed 45 on the 405, which had about a mile ahead of it, free and clear. So I sat behind her because she's a scaredy cat.
I was behind my phone behind it, with the wife, having large arguments.
So we're both in splendid moods.
If she listens to this, she will be very upset because she doesn't like our private life to ever
be talked
about.
Well, we're not going
to
talk about the argument.
And technically, I wasn't touching the other girl because there was a condom. Right? I don't know why she's upset.
Yeah, technically.
Just kidding. Rimshot.
I'm gonna play something that's going to be risky right now.
Wait, I gotta give my big news.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm part of, as of today, I am part of the dental dudes.
What does that mean?
You and Tyler with all your goddamn dental stories.
Oh, what happened?
I got a doozy.
What happened?
Just today it happened. It's fresh in the mind. I can be part of the gang now, yeah? Can I be one of the dental dudes?
I'm winning, right, with $10,000?
For those of you who may be new or for longtime listeners know that Mike has gone on and on about his dental woes.
Not on and on. I had one issue, and I went to get – I had what I thought was a cavity or possibly a root canal, and the guy screwed me up.
You're dental dude number one.
To
Tyler.
The tune of $1,700. I went to my original dentist to charge me another $1,500 to fix it, and then now I'm $10,000 into two cavities.
Tyler brings up the rear as dental dude number two, and I now, today was my first day using my HMO and not going to my family dentist, who I've been going to for 20 years, who, they're just great fucking people. Great people. They do really good work. Sometimes they'll throw things in for free, and they'll say, that's my contribution.
Like a toothbrush, that doesn't really count.
Contribution to your camp. So I ventured out into the real world of dentistry today for the first time, and I will give you...
Do you want to tell me what the problem is?
There's no problem. We'll get to that, but you go ahead. That's riveting conversation to come later.
This may require an edit.
Well, I can't do that in real time.
No, I mean after the show. This isn't live, is it?
I prefer not to. No.
Okay.
It's not live. Go ahead, play.
I got this message.
You should talk into the mic.
I got this message a couple of days ago. I didn't know who the hell it was.
Mm-hmm. Was it Greg?
No, now I know who it is. I just figured it out.
Just now? You figured it out. Or like earlier today.
Hi, Mike. This is Reginald, Anderson's friend, security guard. I was wondering if you could give me a call.
I'm not gonna stop the number. That's when he gives the number out.
I can edit that. What else? What does he go on to say?
He just keeps talking about. Now I want to talk to you about those some pictures.
That is Reginald, the security guard.
He
Reginald
wants
Watts.
Me to give him pictures I took of him or take pictures of him.
I take great exception that he refers to himself
as my friend.
This is a man who knowingly dislikes me and acts on it on a regular basis with sneers.
Do you watch those Netflix shows? Do you watch House of Cards?
No, I don't watch shows.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I've heard.
Here's what I like about it. It just ties in.
Okay. Yo, Mr. White. We're not going to talk about that at all. Don't worry.
I've been giving a lot of thought to politics.
It is the greatest show ever. The Wire might be right behind.
I need to watch
Breaking
both
Bad
those shows. I haven't watched either.
Okay.
You know, but
we're not going to talk anymore.
So House of Cards is fantastic. It's a political drama and it's very entertaining.
Yo, Mr. White. Yeah, go ahead.
And I'm about five episodes in and I realized the kind of relationship that the Kevin Spacey character has with his wife, the Robin White.
I just realized I gave her the phone number. We're not streaming live anywhere, so that was ridiculous.
So they're both powerful, power-hungry political people, and their politics has gone so far that either one can do whatever they want. I find that disturbing. Like when he would sleep with somebody, and then she knew about it, but there's just no discussion about it. It's just like this is part of the game, or this is moving us ahead. And he sleeps with that little Mara chick who's super hot.
I don't know who that is.
Who, by the way, they show her breasts and her ass.
Fantastic. I thought you were
Rooney Mara's sister.
Oh really? She's got a little sister. I don't like the Rooney.
The sister, I think, is more attractive.
Dragon tattoo. I don't like her much.
I don't even know. But this occurred to me. They have an interesting relationship, which I've never heard of before, which is everything about their life is politics. And you let it.
Yeah, I mean,
why am I even bringing this up?
I have no idea why you're bringing it up.
I don't know.
You figure what that show apparently is about. I've never seen it.
She almost cheated on him with a photographer, and that gave me a stomachache and he gave me a knot in my stomach.
Why?
And
because she's little and cute and you're a photographer?
No.
What?
His wife.
Uh-huh.
And then she mentioned it.
Why
to
are we
him.
Talking about this?
She mentioned it to him because I wonder if a relationship can exist like this in real life.
Yeah, you just figure
she
out.
She mentioned it to him, and he said, well, where are you sleeping tonight? And she goes, here. And then they're lovey-dovey again. And there's no...
Oh, well, that's kind of weird.
And then he sleeps with like a 20-year-old reporter.
Mm-hmm. So now you want to go to politics.
She knows about that immediately.
Right.
And then... So that's that. And then I realized the interesting dynamic in their relationship is... Mm-hmm. They are all manipulative,
right?
All politics, all the time, except for with each other. There's no politics. Everything is up front.
So they're completely honest with each other, except everything. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and that's what I wondered if a relationship can last.
I think
the
Clintons might be doing that.
That's what I think it's modeled after.
I'm sure.
I really do. I think it's I'm going to do whatever
But it's all about figuring out where the character's priorities are and then building it around there. And obviously, their priorities are probably politics and their careers, yes? Yes.
There's a point where he doesn't know if he can trust her or not. And she goes, what can I, you know, she goes, how about this? And she takes off her clothes and he takes cell phone pictures of her. And she goes, take the kind of pictures my dad wouldn't want to see.
Oh, I thought you were going to say my dad used to take.
He's got something on her. And that made me uncomfortable as well.
Oh, new uncomfortability happened in my household and involving my landlord.
Ooh.
Here's what you don't want to ever do to your landlord.
Tie them up and put them in a bondage cage.
Yell at him through the crack in your door while your shirt's off, your hair's akimbo.
Why'd you yell?
Your hair's disheveled. With morning breath, I'm sure. Open the door and look at your landlord who's standing there with a new garbage disposal that they're there to install.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get the text, so you're not aware of it. and you don't want to open the door while they're standing there holding the garbage disposal. They just bought brand new down the street to put in your rental. You don't want to say what?
Oh, is that what you did?
And then silence, and then continue to get closer to the man's
face.
Did
you know it was him?
No idea. God, I was half asleep, and with bad, I'm sure bad morning breath. What do you want? And then he's just standing there and goes, "It's your landlord. It's Eric, your landlord."
Mm.
I'm like, oh, gee. Dogs all barking behind me. Oh, it was so uncomfortable. He was supposed to come by and put in the garbage disposal, but I told him I couldn't do it Saturday because I was going to the White Trash Fair.
What was that?
L.A. Fair?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ultra White Trash.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to go to that one, except for now that I see that Star Trek exhibition, I may go, even though I saw that when it originally came around.
So I said, no, you don't need to see it. Queen Mary. The same thing. They just set it up over there.
You ever go to that ghosty Halloween thing at Queen Mary?
I didn't like it. So then I said, yeah, can you come tomorrow? And he didn't respond, but he did respond, but I didn't see it. So here is where he was wrong, though. 8:15 in the morning on Sunday morning is when he started calling to figure out what time he should come over. I missed all those calls because I was sleeping. I didn't go to bed till 5. And then when I finally did wake up to the dogs barking, I just assumed it was somebody telling me Jesus. And I was
Jesus
not having
to wake you up.
I was not having it. I was reenacting my my attitude towards a little girl that did the same thing around the same time. Actually, she was earlier. But
she's
it was
in
awkward.
Line on the sidewalk right behind your landlord waiting to get to you.
I was watching her just the night I went out front to have one of my cigarettes that I should not be smoking. And I was just doing that thing like old man neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Out front of his house.
Just eyeballing.
Smoking cigarettes.
Checking things out. Yep.
Nothing. No
hose,
newspaper, no phone.
Hose in your hand.
It was kind of nice. Kind of felt like the 50s.
Kind of good.
I just stayed in there smoking my cigarette and just kind of like leaning against the post of my house and just kind of watching. Just
I
watching
kind of have,
go by.
I secretly have a little bit of a longing to live in a house with a like recliner. Not a recliner, but like a.
Something on the porch.
Something
right?
on the porch.
Yeah.
You can sit out there.
With shotgun across your lap?
No, just sit out there. And when
shotgun,
the neighbors come walking by, just say, how you doing? How you doing? And then they step on, they try to walk closer, and you're like, whoa.
No, sometimes they stop, they talk to you about the weather.
That's what I mean, yeah.
That's exactly why I put in that screen door. But I watched a little rotund girl across the street who, for those longtime listeners, remember her coming up to my door early Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I caught her in the act, asked me to come over, and I said no.
Good call.
Watching her
good
out front.
Good call on that one.
Watching her out front today.
Don't want to make that a habit.
One of the saddest images you'll ever see, a little rotund girl. She's probably about 10, 9 or 10, playing catch with herself.
Against the wall?
Nope.
Or just
throwing it up in the air and then...
That's kind of heartbreaking. You should go buy one. You should go buy one of those springy like net things that you throw baseball.
Oh,
against.
I got that for my godson. That's right.
You
I have
get
a godson.
Her one.
I have a godson.
That'd be a nice gift to give her.
And I got it for him. And I feel like I didn't get enough thanks
It'd be
at all.
Bad idea when that comes up in court when the neighbors accuse you of molesting her.
Those things are like $100, and I just got it kind of on a whim for my godson's
birthday. $100?
$100 for those things. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's a lot.
And it's pretty cool. It's at an angle.
You could
and
probably
a spring.
Pay day labor to throw catch with you for like $20.
You throw the ball and it comes. You can learn how to throw it so it's a pop-up or a line drive back to you. And
I did like those things.
She needs one of those.
I'd like one now. I'd like to have one now.
So I'd kind of be watching out of the corner of my eye and like, you know, she'd throw it up and then she'd like feebly, like, you know, waddle over. God, this is mean.
What are the odds that woman's not going to have that mattress moved in by the time I get home tonight?
Pretty good. She's still like making her 90
she's like
point
seven,
turn.
She's like 75. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really speak English. Didn't understand. Left. Turn left. Turn the wheel left. Turn the wheel left. Lefto. El lefto. No. No.
Clumsily go for the ball, and then it would. She wouldn't grasp it. And then she'd make like a really good catch, and she'd look over to see if I was watching. I'd look right real quick.
I'm so paranoid nowadays.
It was like a really creepy art of seduction.
I'm so paranoid nowadays. I honestly, the first thing I think right now is if you buy her that thing, she's going to be playing catch, and the ball's going to bounce back. She's going to run in the street and get hit by a car, and it's going to sort of be your fault.
Oh, that's like when you see a dog running down a crowded avenue. You can't. I saw a little dog look kind of like Stanley with a collar, and it was busy like rush hour on a main street.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I got to make a decision right now. Do I pull over and try and get this dog in my car? Or do I not? I keep going because there's a good chance that dog is going to dart into the street and be killed immediately.
Yes.
So I took the lazy man route and just pretended like it didn't happen.
I made almost the same decision about a month or two ago, and it was a really cool little dog running right down the middle of the street, and I was heading to a party that I was, you know, it was going to be a quick appearance, and I was like, I have to stop and get that dog because it was a busy street.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got just out of reach, so I didn't have to stop and get it.
Show up.
I wish I would have thought of that because I would have brought it to that party.
Look,
would have
I
had
just
a
rescued
yard.
This dog. Literally rescued.
Yep.
And no
then
paperwork.
And then 2 hours later, where the fuck is Mike Carano?
All right, real quick. Dentistry scam story, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought about different ways. I was furious earlier today.
I'm
furious.
Do you know my dentist? That furious. One that fucked up my mouth for $1,700. You know that guy calls me like once a month?
Really?
Like, hey, wondering if you want to set that appointment.
I don't know what's going on in the dental world. I'm going to get to the bottom of it because I'm going back to see my dentist in a couple weeks. I told them I ratted this other guy out and I'm going back to get to the bottom of what's going on in the fucking dental world. Yeah. But here's, first of all, it's kind of cool that you guys work on heads, cadaver heads in dental school. That's kind of cool.
It's kind of disgusting.
Severed heads at the good schools.
Do they take the tongue out first?
I don't think so.
Because it just flops around.
You got to learn how to like work with the tongue. You know what I mean? That would be part of the training.
Not a dead tongue.
Yeah, dead tongue's probably got more rigor mortis.
Do you all know?
Right. Didn't mean to get dark.
Do you know when I was, I tweeted it, but it was a very, very true story, and I felt like a complete fool. They jacked me up on the whatever that drug is that you have an option to take for another 175. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard the story 9 times.
Well, the woman kept saying, relax your tongue, relax your tongue, and I made her take.
You said, I'm sweating, and you got upset.
She kept saying, you need to relax your tongue, and I had all this crap in my mouth, like all these rubber bands holding my mouth open and stuff, and I made her take everything out as I gave the signal that it was an emergency and I was having a panic attack. So I could say, that's what she said.
Yeah, I remember.
And I still look back and I'm like, what a jackass.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
It was like a minute of taking stuff out and putting it back in for me to go, that's what she said.
You couldn't all just right. wave your hand like, no, no, I'm good.
Next punchline, I'll have you remove everything again.
After I tell my dental dude story, let me know if it's good enough to be in the club. All right?
Where'd you get that bracelet?
I'm wearing a bracelet that came with a Sonic kids meal that Julian got. And it's pretty cool, actually.
It's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it's spikes, but they're all soft. All right. Maybe we'll have a picture of it up later. Look
or,
for that.
Or not. After
the, Scott by Scott, please put a picture of my wrist up on the... you see how the snake is kind of coming down towards it?
Yeah. I was going to say it would be kind of cool to get a piece of film strip around your wrist.
Yeah. Instead of the snake. It's very hurtful. I have a film tattoo.
If you could go back and redo that tattoo again, would you put a movie in the squares?
I wanted to do that to begin with. That was the whole point. I was going to do like something stupid, like a sunrise, and it becomes like a moon or something where...
You don't want to do a scene from a movie you like?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to, but the tattoo artist... pabbed out and said it's too small. At one point, because I got 16 millimeter, 35 millimeter, and at one point I was going to put Super 8 that went up over my thumb. It would have been on my hand, and it was all drawn on and everything. And the guy had
the cassette tape wrapped around the pinky.
It was ready. He was ready to go, and then last minute he's like, "Dude, I got tattoos over my hand, and I regret it. I'm not doing this for you." And he just stopped. And I'm very thankful. Because that would have been really stupid. I have a skinny little snake on my hand.
You know what would be really stupid is if the scene you chose was that like something cheesy, like that Sharon Stone crossing her legs thing. Something so fucking
just
bad.
Just a big bush?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be really stupid.
People would be like.
Basic instinct. I never understood the big hubbub about that.
What's the dental scam?
All right. It's going to take me a minute to get through this.
Brushing your teeth is a scam, people.
Let's make sure that. I think it might be.
What do you think is more important, flossing or brushing? Brushing. Like if you could only do one.
Brushing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going with that, too. Because technically, it's like little kind of flossing if you jam it in there.
And I think if you just floss and you didn't brush, like you would actually get stuff that's on the front of your teeth from not brushing like in between. It would actually might be counterproductive.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Okay. Going to make this quick. Don't want Tire Chains reenactment, all right, or Death Valley recap. Going to try and make this quick, all right? I'm giving myself 11 minutes. Give myself 6 minutes. Okay,
6 minutes.
Should be done with 6 minutes. All right. So if you guys don't want to hear dental,
you can just forward. You can use that 30-second forward feature on the iPad or on the hit it
12 times.
Yeah.
It's good math. Okay. First time going to a dentist outside of my dentist in literally 20 years. Probably 20 years.
Uncomfortable.
But it's like I'm insured now and with dental because I'm married and I get like 2 free cleanings a year, free X-rays. I think once a year, maybe twice. It's an HMO, which I've heard horror stories about. But I'm like, you know what? We'll find a place. I'll do it. Called up a couple days ago, said I need to have a cleaning. It's been about 6 months. I'm new to your place, and she asked me 3 times if I'd been there before. And I kind of realized that was a bit of a red flag. Then she says, oh, yeah, look, my other dentist, it takes about 2 months to get in there. They're booked. This lady, she's like, oh, I have something this Wednesday if you want it. You want to come in Wednesday? I'm like, yeah, you got 2 open? Yeah, wide open. Come on in. I'm like, oh, that's not good.
No. It's like an empty restaurant.
That's bad. Turns out, exact opposite.
You got 3 open? Yeah, oh yeah. 4:30? Yeah, yeah. Or wide open.
Show up. There's one dentist name on the front of the door. One name. I'm not going to say his name. I'm not that guy.
Okay.
Not that show. Plus, I don't remember
it. Was it Dr. Teeth?
And it was very foreign, so I wouldn't be able to pronounce it properly anyways. That's not part of the story. That doesn't matter. That doesn't factor in. I walk into the waiting room. I expect them to hand me a long list of things to check and uncheck and fill out.
Yeah.
3 pages. 3 full fucking pages. All about everything about my body except for my teeth.
Yeah.
They want to know about everything. All my
Have you ever
habits.
Sued anybody for touching you while you're under?
They had tons of questions about my back.
Well, they probably, I don't know why.
Everyone settled the fuck down. So after about 20 minutes of that, my appointment was at 2 to get my teeth cleaned. Should take 45 minutes.
That no phone call thing coming in is kind of troubling me.
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, it's because we're not live.
I know, but wouldn't it be ringing for Loveline?
No, because it's early. All right. We're early, buddy. Let's not look at that. I'm going to put that where you can't see that. Okay. Okay. You obviously can't be trusted with looking at that.
All right. I can see it more.
So then. I'm going to move it there.
It's staring.
So she says, so it's like 2:30 now. She goes, okay, you're ready. Your room is ready, Mr. Cohen. They always fuck up my name. I say, yeah, it's fine. My dad used to always correct everyone. At one point, my dad was saying, please don't change my religion. What a dick. To like hostesses at restaurants.
Almost racist.
Almost anti-Semitic.
Almost racist.
Because if you're Cohen, chances are you're Jewish. If you're Cowan, maybe not. Probably not.
Probably. I only knew one other Cowan, and she was Jewish.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, as far as I know,
she's not with us any longer.
Hitler.
She died.
You know what? This isn't going to be released on 9/11, but we should at least say that we're doing this on 9/11. Yeah. And I actually wanted to ask you where you were and what happened, all that. But right now, okay. Dental, dude.
Dental.
So I go in my little room, sit on the little chair, the dental chair, and immediately they start shooting all pictures of my mouth. They start doing all the x-rays, right? They're all angles I didn't know existed.
They're all up in your shit.
I've had x-rays on my teeth numerous times. I've had tons of dental work. My two front teeth are essentially fake. They're veneers. Mm-hmm. I've had teeth pulled. I've had a lot. Broken my upper jaw. I've had that shit. I didn't know they could do like six shots on either side plus four in the front. They were going haywire with their, because I'm assuming they're just going to charge the credit, the insurance company as much as they want, right? So it's about 2:45 now. She's done with the goddamn x-rays finally. And she says something very troubling. She says, the doctor will be in about 10 to 15 minutes to see your x-rays. There's a TV in front of you, and there's the remote. You can watch TV. I know they don't have a remote and a TV unless they're prepared to keep you there for a long fucking time. I've also noticed that there's three dental chairs in three separate rooms, and there's one dentist. And he's working on a woman to the left. I'm in the middle room. And there's a man on the right watching TV in the dental chair.
So you might be the front. What are you? You're a county dental?
No. This is like a good, in a medical building.
That's funny you would bring that up, because I'm going to mention that to my dentist when I see her in October. She spends all 100% of her time on the person she's with. She doesn't overlap schedules, which is probably why she has a closed practice.
Triple booking.
My first dentist when I was a kid had four rooms, people in all of them, and he would walk from room to room, never stop moving.
That's what this guy was. And his little assistant, this little woman who was his assistant, I watched her. I caught her before I even went in, walking out of his room saying, yes, doctor, angry. Like, not happy with this man at all.
Memories of Cedar Sinai for me.
So lucky for me, I'm watching a baseball game on my at-bat app on the phone.
You're burning your own battery power when they've got a television right there?
Yeah, but I'm watching the Pirates. You know, it's not on local television. Got to watch the Buccos. They beat Texas today. It was a pretty good game. It's getting tight there.
Yeah, okay.
September ball. All right, so he comes in about 20 minutes later, okay? Sits down, barely introduces himself, starts looking at my x-rays. Now, it's after 3 o'clock now. I had a 2 o'clock cleaning appointment.
Yeah.
He starts, I immediately give him the whole, my sister's in the business, which she was for a number of years. I've been going to the same dentist for years and years. They're like family. They're like on the cusp of being invited to my goddamn wedding. I just got insurance, though, so I'm breaking away from them. But here I am. But please, and my wife has been scammed by dentists. I give him all this up front. A lot of talking, yeah. Because he was asking me, like, just, you allergic to penicillin? I'm like, no, it's right there on the paper. Right there on the paper. I'm not. Yeah. Okay, why are you asking me that? So he looks, and I got a tooth missing. A root canal went bad years ago. It cracked on Thanksgiving, and they had to pull the tooth out ultimately. So I have a tooth missing on one side. Not a big deal. Hasn't bothered me. It's been about 6 years. Immediately. All right, we got to get an implant in there. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not really interested in that right now. Can we do the teeth cleaning? Starts fucking around my mouth, looking at the x-rays, and then...
Is that implant covered?
No, not at all.
Oh.
0% covered by insurance. Okay. $2,500, I learned later. $2,500.
How come she told me $5,000 for mine?
Because she's ripping you off double hard. So then he starts poking around with his little pick thing in my mouth, right? He finds, I know enough about dentistry to know that, like, if it sticks, it could be a cavity. He found one that's probably a cavity, another one that may or may not be. I could feel him putting it in between, so it made the sticking noise. I swear to God, I'm not being paranoid he was doing that. Then he starts jamming the thing down into my gums and asking me when I last had a deep cleaning, which is not covered by insurance. And I'm like, I don't know. The answer is never, but
I've never even heard of that.
Two years ago. It's called scaling, and apparently it's really painful, and they do it in really, really bad gingivitis cases. So I say, and he's jamming it like, wait. He's ripping tissue away from the bone, essentially, trying to...
There's probably blood.
...get down to the part where he claims needs to be cleaned. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not really interested in doing any of that right now. I just want to get my teeth cleaned. And he goes, listen to me, Anderson. Cleaning your teeth, it's purely aesthetic. does nothing to cleanse your mouth or do it doesn't do anything medically. You're not medically inclined to get your teeth cleaned. It doesn't help you. All it is it takes away stains and gives you a nicer smile. I can do that for you if you like. We'll schedule an appointment for it. You know, talk to my lady. In the meantime, I think you should talk to I'll set you up with her.
Wait.
Yeah.
He didn't.
No. He says, in the meantime, he's taking the bib off of me now. It's 3:15. All right? He's taking the bib off of me, and he's helping me
6 minutes.
Out of the chair.
Just kidding.
No, it wasn't.
I don't know how long
it's 8 minutes.
I don't know.
Welcome back, guys. You guys missed the good setup. But he's helping me out of the chair, and he says, Julie here will talk to you about your options. Now I'm sitting down at a desk that's in the middle of the office, right? So I'm like behind the receptionist, but in front of where the actual dental chairs are.
This doesn't sound just like a dental scam. This just sounds like a scam. Not a scam, but he sounds like an aggressive.
Totally. So I feel like I'm being sold a car now. She's doing I feel like I'm at the Delta desk trying to change my flight.
You feel like she just took a rape kit out of the drawer and
she's
put it on the desk. Yeah.
Just constantly banging keys. I'm sitting there for a good, I'd say 5 minutes waiting for her to do what she's doing. And then she prints out this.
She's like, sorry, I was just finishing up my book.
She prints out this long laundry list of things that I need on my teeth. Mm-hmm. I floss every goddamn day, brush every day, and I see the dentist at least twice a year.
She crosses off the extra ones like gold grill.
She hands me a $4,200 bill and says, you don't have to do all this today, or you don't have to set this all up today, and we also have financing, but here's what we recommend you do. And I said, the best part, he's helping me out of the chair. He sits me down with her. This little girl that gets called in walks behind me. Now she's in my chair, in my dental chair. I never had any work done. They just fucking looked at my mouth and told me that I need lots of...
The least you should do is go on to Yelp and complain about it.
She just hops right in my chair, and now all three rooms are filled, and he goes back to the lady that he was working on when I first got there. So he's just telling her, hang out here. I got to go see this other guy and tell him, no, I'm not going to clean his teeth, even though he's scheduled to have fucking teeth cleaned. So long story short, I said, I specifically made an appointment today to have my teeth cleaned. She goes, yes, would you like to make an appointment for that next week sometime?
Did you get up and walk out?
I said, Can I please have that printout? Thank you. And I took the printout, and I immediately called my old dentist, and they were appalled. And they said, we'll get you in here next week. You bring in that printout, and we'll tell you exactly what's right and what's wrong. Yeah. What the fuck is wrong with the dentist world?
That guy that got me in Marina Del Rey was sort of the same thing.
Hey, am I dental dude now? Can I be one of the dental dudes?
It's upsetting, because how do you know? You're scared. You're at the dentist. You don't know what the hell's going on in your mouth.
It's equivalent to taking your car in to get it detailed, and they don't touch. They don't clean anything at all.
Yeah,
they just tell you.
You got some belts that are loose. You got this. Your tires.
Fix the engine.
Oh, yeah.
Got to rotate them tires. You need a new one in the back.
You want to schedule this cleaning?
Not here for any of that. None of it at all. None.
I'm glad you got the printout, because that's a tough thing to do, is walk out of there with some evidence.
And I want my goddamn, probably $300 worth of x-rays that they took. But and apparently I can legally get them, but they'll give me a huge runaround, which I'm looking forward to. Anyway, so that's my, if you have a dentist and you like them, you're lucky.
I agree. That's why I went back to my woman, even though she's almost twice as expensive as any other dentist. But she's also she's extremely expensive.
It was like if the cleaning was dinner. And the scaling and the deep cleaning was like anal rape. I feel like he just didn't even bother to try and buy me dinner. There was not even...
Yeah.
At least just give me a little scrubbing.
People who have been anally raped probably disagree with this analogy, but...
You know, at least...
Call in if you've been anally raped.
And take away, my teeth aren't bad, but give me a little...
I don't know. It's, you know what?
Oh, he also tried to sell me on one of those like $2,000 fucking mouth guards. I'm like, oh, you mean the kind that you can buy for $30 at CVS? Oh, those aren't. You can make very careful. I tuned out. He started telling me about all the concerns about using those CVS ones. I just tuned out. I just tuned them out. Started
you almost
want
to go
again.
Like, can you give me a list of your patients that are satisfied with your service?
Can't
so
be
I can
any.
Talk to them.
Three of us in there, and he was like just hopping back and forth.
Do you feel like picketing?
No, I don't.
Me neither. Sorry, I was about to offer my services.
Oh, plus, you have to pay for parking, so I was late. I was like 2 minutes late because I got there, and I just thought you'd pull
in. Can you call the insurance company and complain?
I'm going to call the insurance company, and I bet you anything. I don't want to say that, but I bet you there's a good chance that he charged them for a cleaning. I bet you. I was scheduled.
You should do that.
I bet you.
Because
I
would love to
see
someone.
The call, the nerve to do that after I gave him the setup.
Anderson?
Hey, man, I'm on the inside. I got a sister in the business.
I'd be willing to bet you money that he did that too, that he charged them.
I bet you.
It's probably like he was here 90 minutes.
Here's
you
the thing.
We just talked to him, tried to scam him.
I never wrote an
sat
email
at a big desk
to Delta about that bitch that had security to meet us, meet my
Let's
wife
still
and I.
Get on it.
Get elbowed
on
my.
It.
I was going to today, and
the
then I'm like, wait a minute.
The anger subsides, though. That's the problem.
I'm like, I can't send them an angry little email about. And then she yelled at my wife on 9/11. I can't send this on 9/11.
When I had that,
you know what I mean?
When I had that cyst in my wrist that I just noticed one day and freaked out, of course, because it was a malformity that freaks me out. I went to my doctor at Cedars and showed him, and he said, I need to go to a wrist specialist right now, immediately, and sent me to another guy at Cedars.
I feel like I've heard this on this show three times.
Yeah, that guy sat down. It was $1,500. He wanted me to check into the hospital right then. And I went back to my dentist, and I said, it's going to be $1,500, and he wants me to check into the hospital. And that guy goes, fucking sit down.
Remember when I said I've heard this a bunch?
And jabbed it and got rid of it completely.
A bunch on this, and you said,
but
uh-huh.
I mean, that's another example yeah, of, it's dramatically different. It's going to get your car detailed. One guy says 150, one guy says 9,000.
Mm-hmm. I don't know it's if that's like, kind of discrepancy.
No, but it's dramatically different. It's like you ever go to a restaurant that's so nice, you really have no idea how much stuff costs because there's no prices
right.
in the menu.
Yeah.
And Nobu is
the
that.
Really nice places don't have menus, they just show you the food.
Yeah. Nobu. First time I went to Nobu, the only time I went to Nobu,
swanky sushi place.
The guy goes, I'm just going to bring you an assortment. If you like something, I'll bring more. If you don't like it, I'll take it back.
That's called omasake.
It's called almost $1,000 probably because we opted for four appetizers, and that came out to be about 160.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And I was like, this is insane. I don't want to even be here.
I did that once, and it was $100 omakase. It's whatever the chef wants to give you.
Yeah.
And it was like, I think 12 things, but it was like one piece of each thing, and they were very, very small, and it cost $100, and I had no say in what I got to eat, and I was hungry at the end, and I was annoyed.
Yeah.
Never went back there.
I went to a dim sum place in Chinatown, didn't speak English.
Just for the record, last time Brian brought up dim sum on the Film Vault, I got very mad at him.
Well, how come?
Because he kept saying it, and he was trying to let everyone know that he knows dim sum.
I didn't know what it was. I had no idea. I didn't realize it's, you know. So basically, you sit down in this very, very authentic Chinese restaurant in Chinatown.
And they come and they try and sell you shit.
No, they just come and they put it on your...
Oh, that's illegal.
In front of you.
They can't do that.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Two of us filled up with some of the best food I've ever had. And each one of us had a beer, less than $20.
Where was this?
Chinatown, New York City.
Kind of far. Maybe Tyler's there right now, not calling.
But everything they brought, she would set stuff down.
I used to go to this one in Seattle.
Like dumplings and stuff.
They were like hardcore street vendors inside the restaurant, though. So you're just sitting at a big round table with, your friends. I used to go with my friend's family. So there would be like eight of us at a table in Seattle. And there'd just be like, I can't tell the whole story without sounding racist because I would have to use a voice. But, they're like, you want wonton? You want wonton? And it's like, no, we're good. You want wonton? No, we're good. Thank you. And then the next lady would come up. You want fried rice? And she'd be like, it's good. Fried rice. I'm like, no, we're good. It was kind of stressful, but it was really good food.
This place was fantastic. I don't even know where it would be, but
if we said yes to everything, it would be a mountain of food on the round table.
Oh, yeah.
On the Lazy Susan.
And then they drop the bill, and then they pretend like they don't speak English, so there's no arguing. It's just like, you have. No, I didn't order this. Yeah, you eat it. No, I didn't. You eat it.
Well, I went to a Chinese place the other day, and it was an authentic Asian Chinese woman back there, sweet as can be, right, trying to take my order, but she didn't speak a lick of English. Mm-hmm. And the lady that ran it was this big, huge, white woman. Big white woman, round eye. And she was telling the Chinese woman what to do, and it was very unsettling. I didn't like it.
You walk outside, you just stare at the sign, you come back in, it says Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, it was weird that the white lady was running.
Maybe she bought the restaurant and had that other one.
She kept calling the Chinese lady Mama. It was weird. It's right here, Mama.
I don't
like her.
You know what? If you're going to call somebody cooking your food Mama, it better be at a goddamn barbecue restaurant.
All right, I'm out of topics.
It better be Big Mama. I got a topic. I don't even know if it's going to go anywhere. But
I want to thank Tyler real quick before I forget. My favorite movie of the summer. So I'm going to figure that out. But there's a movie called In a World.
I saw it.
Lake Bell.
In relation to the fact that it cost less than $1 million and that she wrote it and directed it, it's a good movie.
It's a great movie. It's really one of those movies that sneaks up on you, and it's just really, really clever and funny and novel. Talked about it at length on the Film Vault when I saw it a few weeks ago. Anyways, it was brought to my attention that Tyler brought it up on this show like 3 months ago,
I
was yelling at him to shut up, and I didn't care.
Yeah, it was good. Uh-huh. It was good.
Yeah, it was a very good movie.
She did a good job.
Go ahead.
Oh, she did a great job considering it's her first film.
In a world,
she wrote it and directed it.
A really small movie, and I'm surprised it's not on a lot of critics like top 10 movies of the summer.
They could have. There's a couple of big. I don't want to say big flaws. There's a couple of flaws that could have been fixed with a little extra money, and I wish they would have done it. Like a little more care. Like the dad needed a little more time to come around.
I liked the dad a lot.
No, but he needed a little more time to come around. That was too quick. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple little things like that. But
I don't know why you're giving away ends. But add it to your queue if you have Fuckflix.
Is it on Netflix already?
No, but I mean it's really small. like release. Or, I mean, if you live in like a giant metropolis, they might have it in one of the art houses, but chances are.
Where'd you see it, Pasadena?
No, Encino. But let's move on.
So I went very I like my trips to be I like my events and trips to be efficient.
Is this the worst show we've done?
Oh, shit. I'm supposed to go see the Pixies tomorrow night. I don't know if I can do it.
They were in here sitting talking in these microphones last night. Right here. Yesterday, during the day. They were interviewed.
Oh, I thought you meant at Loveland.
It
was going to be like...
But it was in this at this console, into these microphones.
Why didn't you tell me?
I didn't know until I came in here and I saw the record session up on my computer. I'm like,
you
what
still have it?
Yeah, I could probably dig it up.
Okay, thanks.
Pixies.
So, I go to Orange County once or twice a week. Normally once a week to run my errands. I hit Irvine, hit Brea, do a couple... Go hit Costco, hit Target, blah, blah, blah. So I planned on doing it yesterday.
We know that because you vine it.
And then wrapping it all up at Fart Barf at this bar.
Oh, yeah. How's Fart Barf?
You would love. This place called the Continental Room. It opened in the 20s in downtown Fullerton. It's a fantastic little bar. Problem is...
I almost went and met you there after the show last night.
I almost wish you would have.
I didn't get out to 12:30.
Even though I knew probably 15 people there.
This
because pretty much the whole improv went. A bunch of kids. So Fart Barf was okay.
Really? Why?
It was just too late, and
were
it was
you
packed.
Just stressed because like you had so many people there, like going, "You got to see Fart Barf,"
yes.
And then they weren't perfect.
Me and the other guy who sold them as the greatest thing since the Beatles.
Were you getting that look like from your friends?
No,
like,
no,
like they were
no.
in front of you and they're giving that over the shoulder,
no.
Like what?
They were like, "It's better than you said." But I was like, "This." It wasn't the best Fart Barf show I've seen, mm-hmm. and I wanted it to be the best.
Nothing will ever be better than the first Fart Barf you see.
Not true, because I saw them at the Whiskey. And that was an industry show, so there were no mistakes. It was Fart Barf, 100 mile, like full bore out of the chute from minute one. The whole it was like give it 100% the whole time, but they were still great. They changed up a couple of songs a little bit, which I don't know. It doesn't matter. They're great. I mean, the minute they came on, I went, "This is one of the great bands." One of the most unique, best bands I've seen in years and years.
They are the inner world of bands.
Yeah. So the problem is I was done with all my shit at 5:30. And then I sent Josh a message.
I don't know who Josh is.
Isn't that his name?
I don't know who Josh. Oh, the singer.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Through Twitter. And I said, "What time do you guys go on tonight?" And he said...
He always is 11:30.
11:50.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I am now going to flake and probably have at least 6 or 7 people go. And ended up having 15 people go. And then I realized I can't flake now after that. So I had to kill 5.5 hours in fucking just aimlessly hanging out at my storage compartment. I stopped by the improv at least 4 times. They're like, "What are you doing here again?" I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. There were no movies playing. I went out to dinner. I did all this bullshit. I don't know why I even told that part of the story. The main part of the story is, so I go in about 10:30. Figured, okay, I can kill this much time. Plus, I have friends in the bar.
Speaking of killing time.
I have friends in the bar. I get there as the first band's going on. There's 3 bands. Fart Barf went on probably 12:15, 12:30. Hanging out in a very crowded bar in a college town. Like, I've never been in any of those bars in downtown Fullerton, even though I lived two miles from there for 7 years.
Right.
And they're packed to the gills every fucking night. Like, I would drive through that intersection, and there's just drunk kids everywhere. And I kind of forgot what it's like to be in one of those kind of bars for a long, long period of time. It's a bunch of hammered kids between, like, 21 and 30, and including the kids from the club, which I like, but, you know, just get drunker and drunker, and then they're grinding on each other, and then everyone's hitting on each other, and it's just this wild, crazy, like, sexual fucking energy from every... It's just this... Is that all people do is go out and get hammered and just fuck each other?
Well, a lot
because
of
because maybe I'm just too old for that.
A lot of them can't close the deal, so they're getting, like, halfway there. But, yeah, I mean, when you're a kid, that's all you want to do is get hammered and be around the opposite sex.
The whole bar was that. By the way, this bar has a waitress that looks very much like Mila Kunis.
Joss Stone, I think.
But I'll say maybe even more attractive.
Really?
Maybe. Yeah.
Really? I'd like to go to that bar.
You would love this bar. Yeah. I would go there and have a Coke with you, but...
I can't. I'll have a diet.
The look of disgust when I ordered a Coke from her, by the way, was pretty much a...
Really?
Yeah.
Like that stupid beer commercial. Like, "I'll have a beer. What kind of beer? I don't care." And she's like, "No respect for you then if you don't have taste in beer."
But so she should be happy with my $3 tip on a $3 Coke.
Hey, new Film Vault this week, by the way. Top 5. Summer recap. We just talked about our 5 favorite movies that we saw this summer. I saw 33.
How is that new? Because
33 theatrical
That's way
releases
too many
summer.
Movies to see.
In the theater.
Here's the thing about what I want to say about the bar is...
That's like 3 a night. 93 a week.
I felt old. I didn't feel like 100% out of place, but I felt old and like I can't really relate because
how is it new? It's the summer just ended. It's not even over yet.
I know.
That's how it's new.
I thought the episode was new.
Well, we're doing it tonight. It doesn't exist right now as I speak these words. Could be awful.
I thought it was. I'm not gonna.
It could be the one where Brian says the N word again. Yeah, I said again. He said it three times already on that show.
Did he really?
Yeah. He always does it in quotes. He thinks it's okay if he's quoting a movie. I'm like, no, it's no longer. It's a game changer.
Yeah, because someone can edit out those quotes.
The game has changed, man. You can't do that
but
anymore.
But I don't get the appeal of the bar scene because to me it was miserable, and maybe it's because I'm not drinking. And then I thought some people were asking me about why I'm not. I mean, isn't this horrible to be here not drinking? Then I started dwelling on it. And
why would people do that?
A friend of mine who's clearly alcoholic, was like, I don't know how you do this, man, because I can't go without
why
drinking.
Why would an asshole say, hey, can we talk real quick about Death Valley? And
but
your,
real quick,
your
I was going to say.
Experience with drinking?
I realized there when you're drinking, drunk people, you look like an asshole when you're drunk.
That's one of the reasons why you're drinking, because one of the main reasons I drank at bars is because I couldn't stand all the drunk fucks around me. Yeah. And a lot of the sober ones, I hated them too. So the only way to be able to deal with them is to social lubricate.
But I was watching people, and there's no one looks cool when they're drinking. They look like fucking morons. And the worst of the worst are the people that were, I don't even want to say my age, because they're probably like 8 or 9 years younger than me. There was a couple of dudes that were clearly like
older.
Yes, like way
old.
The
time has come and gone.
Like they shouldn't be at like a college-y bar.
Me, probably. I don't go to bars
so
unless
fucking hammered and doing that eyes closed dancing thing, like falling down, like.
Yeah.
Like just,
but he's probably enjoying himself at the time. The thing is,
maybe
with drinking
look like
bars,
a moron. If you're 25 and you're doing that, it's cool. If you're fucking 40, you look like a fucking idiot.
Either way, you look like a fool. But the thing
is,
like,
guy's probably like 34, 35. You still look like a fucking moron.
Having a good time right at that moment, right? And that's all that really matters.
Yeah, you got a good point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that he should do that and then drive home or anything like that. But you know,
he did.
Okay, good. All right, we were at that little, not to spend a whole lot of time in Death Valley, but I don't think we ever talked about the drinking situation that occurred. Mm-hmm. Did we talk about it?
I don't believe so.
I don't even know
what the situation was.
Should I even bring it up?
Yeah, why not? What was it?
Mike was definitely, I don't know how much of it was real. I get the sense that...
Oh, thinking about drinking?
He could have easily
I was totally
slipped.
Thinking about it. Yeah, I was absolutely
it is
thinking about it.
In the middle of nowhere, we've been driving all day, and it's a great little place to have a couple drinks. Plus, the drinks are cheap, and it was just... It's hard not to imagine having a beer in this tiny little casino that we stayed at. And Mike was looking at me earnestly saying, you know what? I was thinking about it. And I said, absolutely no, are you going to do that when you're out here with me? I don't want to be, it was for selfish reasons. I didn't want to come home. But like, yeah, Mike fell off the wagon with me this weekend. I didn't want to be the guy. You know what I mean? And I chose not to drink as well. And you kept saying, you can drink. No, really, you can drink.
You can.
And the alcoholic in me was thinking, you know what? It might actually help him if I slammed a bunch of booze and got wasted, and then he would see what an ass I was. It would make him not want to drink.
I don't need any help. It's fine.
No, but and then I ended up having a shot when you were gone, because we separated for like an hour, and I had a shot because I had something called a hot shot for $2.
We did?
Well, half hour, 45. You were off gambling, and I was gambling. Yeah. You were off making money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. God, I forgot about that.
So I said, you know, the guy was like saying, you want a hot shot? They're only $2. It's a special. I'm like, what is a hot shot? And he showed me the bottle. I'm like, that looks awful, but I'll try one. So I had one. And then I immediately regretted having one and felt guilty.
Shouldn't feel guilty.
And then you asked me if I drank, and I said no.
I'm.
And then I told you later that I did.
I've been considering drinking again.
You know,
and
one drink.
Like more than considering it.
Felt guilty.
Like planning it.
You don't let me off the hook.
You don't need to be. You're not on a hook.
All right.
But... I don't know what would happen, because if I would have drank out there, it would have been a lot of drinks.
It would have been really fun for probably about an hour, and then you would have probably had a really bad time, and then you would have felt like absolute
the guilt,
hell the next
the
day.
The guilt would have
physically
been,
and mentally, emotionally, spiritually, man, you would have been fucking a wreck.
But I wonder if I start drinking, if I'm going to just go right back to drinking every single day, because I think I will.
Yeah, you probably will. You shouldn't do that. Because I don't think you're like me with cigarettes. Like I relapsed and bought a pack of cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Because you can smoke inside, which is just unheard of.
Freaky.
And I'm like, I got to buy it. And they had a vending machine. I'm like, all right, I have to get cigarettes.
I took a picture of it. That was weird.
Out of that
vending
machine.
I haven't seen a cigarette machine in a long time.
And I smoked an entire pack in probably about 12 hours. And then I came home and I, you know, hit the electric cigarette, chewed some gum. And I'm like, fuck this. I already had a pack. Now I'm back to smoking. At least I'm not smoking my brand, but I'm smoking horrible cigarettes.
Have you been to the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas?
I don't go there.
It's a great hotel, hipster, but
that's where I was supposed to go for my bachelor party, and I said absolutely not. Remember?
I think you made the right choice.
It was like $2,500 a night for.
It was too much.
Yeah,
it was too far.
My buddy who was setting up the bachelor party, he had my friends like getting a couch for $500 in the room. I'm like, don't make my friends pay $500 for a couch.
They have it's an artsy fartsy trendy hotel, like, but I like it. It was supposed to be condominiums, which is why I like it, because the hallways are bigger, it's quieter, the rooms are larger.
Through.
Yeah, so now it's a hotel, but it's a great hotel. It might be my favorite hotel.
Who would buy like really expensive condominiums during like a downturn in the economy?
Well, I don't. You can ask the people on the other end of the strip at the Turnberry, where there's four towers condos that start at like $500,000 and move up to like $6 million that are 95% empty. So
yeah,
obviously
like
there's
a
problem.
Choice.
But the it's a great hotel. The pool is my favorite pool in Las Vegas because it overlooks the strip and it's right almost on the strip. Uh-huh. Like when you look over the edge of the pool, you're looking at the sidewalk on the strip.
I think I've seen that in commercials.
But the they have cigarette machines. It's an art hotel, so there's art everywhere.
And they have all the old cigarette
machines? No, they have cigarette size packages filled with art.
Yeah.
Like little a painting, a drawing, something somebody did, and they're $5 each.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Drunken impulse buy.
Yeah.
Little mini painting or something.
It's just kind of like, check it out, man. Here's where we are now. Back in the day, they used to actually sell poison out of these things, but now we sell inspiration.
Yeah, they should probably get one of those machines at the Ace Hotel.
They absolutely should. It's kind of like where you can buy those little seeds in instead of a candy machine. Mm. It's seeds, and then you can gorilla bomb the – I'm saying it wrong. I know
that's
that.
Exactly what it is.
Hey, so where
– That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. It's like that seed thing.
I don't like it. Hey, if Drew gets in here, I want to talk shit about dentists. No, he'll pile up.
Of course he will.
Yeah. I was actually texting him back and forth while I was at the dentist.
I saw Bob Forrest's documentary.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, the way you said it.
No, it's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Running with Monsters. He was in here plugging the other documentary.
Bob and the Monster.
Running with Monsters, I thought.
No, it's called Bob and the Monster.
Oh, Running with Scissors. No, it's Running with Monsters.
No, it's Bob and the Monster.
He and I talked at length about Running with Scissors and how people thought it was going to be like... too much like that. The title Running with Scissors.
Running with Scissors is that spoken word guy who killed himself.
With two therapists for parents. And so I know about that book because a lot of people are always saying you should really read that book. Yeah,
what's his name? Starts with Spalding Gray.
Spalding Gray. That's not Running with Scissors.
Running with Scissors is a Weird Al Yankovic album.
Running with Scissors is something children should not do.
I have an autographed version for some reason, and I didn't get it from Al.
There is a book called Running with Scissors. It's not Spalding Gray. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, Running with Scissors is an Al Yankovic album. It's not one of the better ones. I mean, no, it's not the best one, but it's decent.
Okay, this is the worst.
No, it's not the worst.
Have you ever seen Punching the Clown?
Yes, I'm friends with Henry Phillips.
It's a great movie. It's not a great movie. It's a terribly shot, very amateurish movie, but it's such great writing and acting for the most
Henry
part.
Phillips.
He was fantastic.
I'm friends with him. In fact, I'll tell you something about him after the show.
That's a great little movie. It's streaming on Funflix right now. I'm late to the party. It's a cult classic already. 2009 it came out. Huge slam dance.
I'm friends with Henry and I'm friends with another comic kind of in the same vein. And I want to do a project with the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have brought that up.
It's fantastic. Maybe they listen to the show and now the project will come to fruition.
The other guy's Michael Connell.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
He's great.
Does he sing for the Pixies?
He's another...
It's just Pixies, you know. It's not the Pixies.
I know it is just Pixies, but I wonder what time they go on tonight at the El Rey if someone can get me in. Hint.
Oh, my God. No, like, see, we're not streaming.
As if my
no
connection's
listening. No
one will
hear this till tomorrow or Friday. Happy Friday,
you think
everybody.
That's Tyler calling?
Possibly Thursday. Hey, you're on the After Disaster. How are you? Hello.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
I was calling the Loveline?
Yeah, wrong number, and you're really loud. And it's kind of the wrong number.
God, that hurt my ears.
And me too. That was way too
loud. Well, that's what happens when we don't have a board op. Augustine Burroughs wrote Running with Scissors. Augustine Burroughs. So,
just confirmed that I'm right about Weird Al.
I feel like we should wrap up the show. Is there anything else? I still have my epic Jeep story, but I can make it unepic. I feel like I got to get that off my chest.
I don't know what it is.
You don't.
Well, the epic part threw me. I know you rented a Jeep, but I mean, I don't remember something epic happening.
It's kind of a funny story. It's kind of funny.
Let's hear it.
And I meant to tell it right after I got back from the old Hawaii there.
Was it that you took it where you were not supposed to take it?
And it's definitely worthy of telling quickly here.
I thought you did tell that story, but
no,
go ahead.
I didn't. Did I? I told you off air. In Death Valley, I told you. Yeah, we were driving.
Okay, let's hear it.
I had the Jeep, and when you have Jeep, you feel free.
Yeah, that's why I want a Jeep.
If you have a passport.
Because right now I'm chained into the prison of Honda.
You feel free. with a passport. Like, you can go anywhere. It's unbelievable when I got my passport. Because people would, like, say, you should go to Europe. And I would just immediately think of all the bureaucracy that goes into getting a passport and, like, waiting
in
lines.
I don't have a passport, so apparently.
You get a passport, you'll feel like you – literally, if you have a credit card with any kind of limit, you could go to the airport tonight and be, like, in Bangladesh tomorrow.
Yes.
There's something – whether you do it or not, just knowing that you have the freedom, it's fucking awesome. You can't. I can't. I'm free.
Why can't I do it? Why can't I just go get a passport tomorrow?
Because it doesn't work that way. You got to wait like 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
Yeah.
I want to get out of here now. What the fuck?
In this post 9/11 world.
Can I sneak? Can I sneak out?
That'd be tough. You'd have to like hang out with the guys from Vice to do that. You know where I can't go, though, is North Korea. That's upsetting. I want to be able to go anywhere. You know what I mean?
Maybe Rodman can pull some strings.
So
pull the strings.
We had a Jeep the entire time we were in Hawaii. I was in Hawaii with my parents and my wife. That sounds worse than it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mom asked us to go and assist with Dad because Dad's forgetful. So we definitely had fun little adventures, the wife and I, during the day, and we had a Jeep, so I felt free. I felt like I could go wherever you want. Now, there's certain – they have the same laws they do in California here in Hawaii where the public has to have access to the shoreline.
Yes.
And I don't know exactly how often it is. It might be like every 3 miles or every 4 miles. But what you'll do is you'll come across like these vast, giant, like gated
communities.
Well,
set it up a little more. Like if you buy a house on the beach in Malibu, that's not your beach.
Not your beach. You don't have to have like you don't have to have open door policy where they can come into the front door. The public can come into the front door, walk
but
through your
you
kitchen.
Are not allowed to go. Like David Geffen tried pulling that shit. He bought a bunch of property along the beach, and was
it still goes on in Malibu?
Kicking pee. Oh yeah, no. If you go in front of someone's house, they will send security.
My
out
very
to get you
good
off,
friend,
but they legally can't do that.
Lives in the community that is Malibu. Like it's a tiny little community. Are you
talking about
you
the
don't
colony?
Realize.
That's different.
I don't know. Everyone's got. Most households have like one. We're talking about Malibu now. They have one car, and then pretty much every house you see has a golf cart, and that's how everyone gets around.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess he lives in the colony then. I don't know. And they all have
well,
a
like
key.
Where Jimmy Kimmel lives, like that.
I don't know where that is.
Like those houses are probably $20-30 million or more, and you don't the space is at such a premium. Once you get your car into the gate, then you take a golf cart everywhere because it's so much easier.
Everyone has a key to these two gates. There's a series of two gates, and it's a long walkway, and they consider it a private beach. And there's all sorts of like graffiti and notes saying, no paddleboarders, stop bringing your friends to this beach. And they believe that it's like their own private beach, but 100% illegal. Mm-hmm. Totally illegal. Every now and again, like the hippies get together, and they go and they try and tear down gates and fences and stuff. But same law holds true in Hawaii. But there are like a lot of foreign money over there, just like everywhere. But like there's giant, huge, like I'm talking about like 1,000 acres of land. And what's eerie about it is I saw a few of these tracks where there's tracks like the ground is scraped, but there's absolutely no property. It's just they have lots, no property, and a giant like multi-million-dollar golf course in the middle. Mm-hmm. And they're waiting and hoping that people are going to start buying these lots, building houses, and it's going to become a neighborhood. Somebody's got like literally billions of dollars into these things.
Yeah.
The best part is they have like a little guard tower and the gates, and there's a little sign that's by law they have to have there says public access. So somebody like me and Jillian were like, oh, let's check this out. So they stop you at the guard gate. They take your license. They give you a full spiel about how you're not allowed to be seen on the property. You have to take this route. Here's the map. Go straight to this parking lot, and that'll take you to the public access. We don't want to see you anywhere else. Nowhere else, right? Like in the neighborhood, which is non-existent. There's no one there, right? So Jill and I went, and it was like one of the first days we got there, and it was an amazing like old fisherman village down at the public access beach part where like you could see like from 1600s with like the rocks are still built up where the fishermen used to live. It's really cool. And there's no beach because it's a big island, so we're jumping off rocks into the ocean. It's very dangerous, treacherous, no one around. We decided to go there on our last day as well, and we got down to the end because it's up on a hill where you got to check in, and they give you a little pass. And she says, you got to turn, and I'm all cocky. I'm like, yeah, I've already been here before. I know, sweetie. You just turn right at the end. We've been here. It's great. You don't have to tell me. She's like, and you have to be out by 6:30. I'm like, don't worry about that. No problem. So we drive all the way down. It's like probably 2 miles down. And we get to the end. And you can call me a chicken right now. People used to call me chicken growing up. It never affected me. I'm my own man.
Mm-hmm.
You can call me a pussy all you want. I'm not going to do something unless I want to do it. The wife calls me a pussy. And
you're
I will do.
It.
Yeah. She's the only one in the world.
Yep, she double dog dared you.
So there's like some kind of little sign. We're at the end where you turn right to go to the parking lot where we're supposed to be. Or we could go straight. We have a Jeep. We're free. We could drive off that road and we can go back to this like the paved road goes in like about 50 yards and then just ends, right?
Yeah,
and
you get a Jeep though.
It was treacherous.
The taste of freedom's on your lips.
It was like some kind of underground railroad. There was something very tempting about it. Why does it end? But then it continues to go with a dirt road.
I'm going to buy a Jeep. I swear to God I am.
She's like, just do it. Stop being a pussy. Do it. I'm like, oh, shit. Next thing I know, we're sitting there for 60 seconds while I'm trying to muster up the strength and the right decision. Make the wrong decision, and I just go straight. Now we're off-roading in the Jeep, private property. Giant sign saying, you know, public access not allowed, turn right only. So now we're behind enemy lines. And as soon as I do it, I said, I turn to her and I'm like,
Hawaiian enemy lines.
I picture
wealthy
like
Hawaiian.
Those old bags up there in their guard tower. I picture them like looking through a little binoculars and go, ah, shit, we got a problem. And like coming rolling down here. We're not in there for 3 minutes. Like going over. There's nothing out there, Mike. Nothing. It's not like there's property to damage.
Yeah.
Nothing. They don't even clear the brush anymore. It's been there so long. It's just empty lots. We're not in there for 3 minutes. There's a giant white truck like on our ass, honking lights going on and off, even though it's during the day. And she's yelling. It's the old bag. She's yelling out the window, get off the property. You're trespassing. Panicking. She's furious and panicking like we're about to find alien remains or something. And I was totally right. She was up there with the goddamn, with the fucking binoculars. That's the only way she could see.
You should have confronted her. What do you have to hide, lady?
I looked for like cameras.
Some
no cameras.
Moe, tiki god.
Beautiful golf course. Really, really nice golf course. Fountains. Not a single person on it. It's just, it's bizarre. It's very, very odd and creepy. So I thought I was supposed to turn left. Sorry.
My wife called me a chicken.
There's nothing worse
trespassing
than getting in trouble for something that you know you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
You know what
as
I mean?
As an adult.
As an
it's
adult.
Worse as an adult.
I didn't like it when I was a kid. I really don't like it as an adult. Getting caught. So I'm trying to, you know, I'm yelling out my window and I'm trying to find a place to turn around. It's really super awkward. Jillian doesn't care at all. She thinks it's funny. The bitch, the old bag, she follows me all the way. I make a U-turn and then we go into the parking lot I'm supposed to be in. I'm hoping she's going to veer off and leave. And I'm terrified she's going to like come in and force me to leave altogether. Like I lost my privileges for public access. She pulls up next to me and I get out of the car. I'm like, listen, I'm very sorry. We've been going to these things every day. I immediately just start making all these weird little lies. We've been there for 8 days. I'm like, we've been here for over 2 weeks and we go to a different public access. They all look the same. And I thought this one was the one where you turn left instead of right. Now I realize it's just talking a mile a minute, nervous as can be, probably pale. And she stops me and she goes, stop it. You're lying to me. We were watching you. We watched you sit there for 60 seconds with the giant signs right in front of your car before you decided to go the wrong way. And I had nothing to say.
What fucking life does she lead?
Nothing. She was angry.
Now, is she security or is she like a property owner?
I don't know. She's an old white bag with too much sun. Like one of those chicks that probably went out there in the 70s and never left. You know what I mean?
You know what? I hate to say what I'm about to say because I've never said this before. And obviously, I'm a fan of people making money, but fuck those kind of rich people. I mean, fuck them.
It felt very stubborn. And like they would be in their best interest that people actually see these things and talk about it. You know what? They have it under lock and
key. Who cares
key.
What they're interested in? I just don't like the fact that people gobble up like pristine property like that and are saving it for their buddies or their pals so they can have this probably an all-white community that's sitting on a fucking golf course in Hawaii.
Yeah, it's and it had been there for years and years and years. So the street signs were actually faded.
Could you ever live in Hawaii if you had? Let's just say you had.
I think so. But I love that place.
But let's. Here's a question. I actually had this conversation with Dr. Drew, and we both actually agreed on the same. We both would go to the same place. If you had endless funds, like
I have endless fun every night with you.
You could buy.
Once a week.
It is endless, isn't it?
You say fun.
You could live. You could live wherever you wanted to live. Money was no object.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
want to make Halloween decorations? Make them available for the listeners? I think that's what
sell
we should
them,
do.
You mean?
Yeah, you and I are going to go.
Glad it's getting cold now. I can finally unload those jackets for
we're
the
We're
going to
go shopping for like little jack-o'-lanterns and stuff.
I bought three little caskets.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
Yeah, I was at Michael's. I bought three little caskets.
Add our own little after-disaster touches to them and make it available to our listeners. Because I think that they want holiday goods from the after-disaster. I
really think about this. If you could live anywhere you wanted, mm-hmm. and I don't – I'm talking –
Van Nuys.
Anywhere. Where would you go, though? Seriously.
Anywhere. Hawaii.
And you just have one of those amazing houses, those beautiful houses.
How long do I have to live in this location? For the rest of my life.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, Dr. Drew said Laguna Beach. And
yeah,
I'm near there, too.
I'm thinking, like, San Diego or something. So that I can still go other places, visit other places. I don't know. No, I might offer Hawaii. I think that I could actually. I hear people, like, who live there and call it a godforsaken rock. Can't wait to get off this rock. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
But, you know, people. I was just going to say people we know, but I don't know if they're people we know. But there's a.
How long before you just take it for granted? Because I drive through the Malibu Canyon. Those of you who have driven through Malibu Canyon out here,
yeah.
It connects the 101, which is up like in the valley, to the coast, and it is a magnificent drive.
Yes.
It could be in a national park. It's,
yeah.
And I've never seen it that way, really, because I've been going through there since I was before I could talk, before I can remember. And it's just like a fucking crowded road to me.
Yeah.
And does that happen in Hawaii after you're there for about 6 months?
Happens everywhere.
It absolutely would, right?
I still do to an extent, but I lived, my primary residence was in San Diego, exactly a block and a half from the beach, 5 or 6 blocks from the bay. Like I could walk to the my favorite part of, one of my all-time favorite parts of San Diego, this one little corner of Mission Bay, or right to the beach anytime I wanted. I lived for maybe 20 years. I lived there around 20 years.
Took it for granted.
Never once appreciated it. Yeah. Never for one goddamn moment did I appreciate it. I thought I lived in a shithole. I thought I lived in this crap beach community.
But you
this
know what?
Sucks.
I was in Laguna where Drew wants to retire.
Yeah.
And he probably will.
Yeah. He will.
That place was overwrought with fucking people. It was summertime, and I couldn't get anywhere.
No, I'm with you. But there's spots. If you get closer to the freeway, there's spots that are stunning and beautiful. And it's not just Laguna. It's, I mean, realistically, If you can drop $30 million on a house, you go to Newport Beach and you buy one of those houses in one of those silent, beautiful neighborhoods right on that little cove, and it's paradise. And you're right on the 55 in 10 minutes, and you can get anywhere.
55-yard line. I feel like the show's over. We're talking about where Drew's plans of retiring.
I've seen people's houses in Hawaii that are super, 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 like hyper-successful people, and It's as paradise-like as you could possibly conjure up in your brain. And then outside of the property is just sweeping views of the ocean.
Yeah.
So it's like this piece, the most beautiful house with the most beautiful pool and the most beautiful flowing green lawn and the most beautiful plants and the most beautiful architecture. And it's just stunning. And that's just within the confines of the property. And then you kind of look over the pool and it's just 180 degrees of stunning.
Here's why I want to do that.
How can you get better than that? Even though I wouldn't want to live on an island, because I don't like to fly and I don't want to have to fly to go anywhere.
I want to do that because
take a boat.
This might be a weird parallel, but I know that eventually everything else, it might take a month, might take 6 months, might take a year, but I know eventually all of my little idiosyncrasies and things that bother me would creep back in, and I would just become that frustrated,
the crotchety dude in Hawaii,
crotchety guy. And then what's your recourse? I mean, you don't have anything to strive for. And the parallel I'm going to make is my buddy Adam Carolla, who I worked with many years. I know him pretty goddamn well, a lot better than his faithful listeners, I think, for the most part. I know him.
Yeah.
I know his tendencies, and I know that I have a sneaking suspicion that he is more unhappy with his existence today than he was back when I worked with him, and he's more successful. And I think that he thought that if he became successful on his own terms and created this, as he calls it, a pirate ship to be able to do whatever the fuck he wants and has people, he's still asking for donations. I mean,
I sort of know for a fact that you're 100% right
on that. Seven Ferraris. He has a hangar to keep. He thought
that
was going to give
him
happiness.
Yeah.
And it didn't get him happy.
I have reason to
believe.
And
now it's panic time.
Yeah,
and
I
that would be a horrible
feeling.
That
he's more unhappy now than he ever was. And this is totally on his own terms. It was that he did the dream scenario, which is I have no boss.
So what do you do if you achieve that?
Adam, I suspect, is a lot like Dennis Miller, who I worked for years, who is a miserable human being deep down, and no matter what he achieves, the misery's still there.
Yeah.
Which is my greatest fear. Besides,
but you're not
every
a crotchety.
No, but my fear is if I ever had success,
right,
I would still be miserable, and then there's nothing to strive for.
But at least you have something to show for it. I mean, Carolla can at least stop and say, you know, I have this to show for.
No, yeah, he's created a lot.
A ton. I don't know if that makes him happy, though. That would be just the most helpless, horrible feeling. So what I'm saying pretty much is I'm happy that I've done nothing with my life.
Yeah, me too.
Gotta always keep that carrot of a dream in front of you.
That's right. You never want to get that carrot because carrots suck. That's the point of the show tonight, everybody. I was missing Death Valley this weekend, by the way.
I miss it a lot. Oh, it occurred to me, this might be minor, but it occurred to me last week when we were talking during our epic, legendary Death Valley recap show, greatest show ever produced by the After Disaster, that I was saying that it felt like going on vacation with myself because you and I wouldn't step on each other's toes, you weren't constantly showing me something, and it's something I was driving the other day, and I remember myself saying that. And then I remembered the whole scenario, how I was saying it on this show, and your reaction, which was nothing.
And I'm like, really? I don't remember that.
Oh, no. Why was he so silent? I should bring that up. What were you thinking? No. No, it wasn't like going on vacation.
No, I enjoyed that trip, even though I'm always more comfortable when I'm by myself.
I am too, but I would not be with fucking rivers in the road by myself out in Death Valley. I'm very thankful that you were there for that.
I'm thankful you were there too,
yeah,
because
that would have been
I would have been panicked. I would have been panicked.
I hate
too.
To admit it, but especially on 9/11 with like all the reality and all those things that happened, and just make us realize that, you know, we
all right. When the original 9/11
happened.
But if
it was raining really hard in Death Valley, yeah. And I was by myself, I'd be terrified.
When the original 9/11 happened, I was at my dad's in Pacific Beach, mm-hmm. and I woke up to watch it. And
did you wake up on time for both?
I witnessed through the television the second tower get hit.
Yeah, so
actually the hit. And it still is the weirdest, most surreal thing I've ever seen. The next to the raccoon raping the dog on a roof. One time when I was going for a walk, but that's totally different tragedy.
I don't know why you'd have to try.
That was 9/12.
That and the Challenger exploding are the two craziest things I've ever seen on TV.
I decided I'm going to do something about it. So I went to this Middle Eastern restaurant downtown.
Michael.
I got my cameras, I hopped in the car, and I drove to LA, and I drove around from venue to venue thinking they're going to let me in.
And what venue?
I went to Staples.
Uh-huh.
You know who was there?
Who?
Madonna.
Why?
She was performing.
At night?
Yeah, but no. My point was, I was going to go to every. I knew every show was canceled. I was going to go to every venue and see if they would let me shoot the empty venue or something. So I basically shot a lot of signs. I got Staples Center, Madonna canceled, Black Crows at the Greek canceled. I went around to all these venues and shot the canceled signs, and I took pictures of some of them ones that would let me, like the Greek let me in and take a picture, and it was stupid. I went to
you could probably do that tonight,
some too. Art galleries on Melrose. Everything was a ghost town. It was horrifying. I couldn't, like, my head was swimming for like 20 hours straight. Like, it was just horror, and I was just listening to talk radio all day. Probably got home at like 2 or 3 in the morning, probably left at 10:30, 11 in the morning. The one picture that I remember is I went to that bar, Sloan's Bar and Grill, which... where that Troy Duffy guy worked
right.
from overnight. And I went in there and asked the bartender, can I take a picture? And he said, I don't think it's cool. And I went,
Were you already a photographer for the improv at this point?
Totally amateur.
Well, so you weren't shooting for the improv?
Yeah,
right?
Total amateur. But right. I took like 3 pictures of that bar and then made like a little panorama about it. And the bar was 100% empty. One of my favorite bars ever, ever.
But you got to have some kind of like reference point. Like it's empty when it shouldn't be.
100% empty bar, except for in the corner. There were like 3 dudes from Ireland having the time of their fucking lives. Hammered.
Weird.
Screaming. Talking. Two guys and a chick and just having a party. And that's what I remember about 9/11.
I was in Las Vegas a couple weeks later, and I remember talking to the dealers about it. And they said that for the most part, it was just business as usual. A couple people got up and they went and looked at the TV. They're like, wow. And most people went back to the table and started gambling.
That's horrifying.
Now, that would have been a picture if like you... got a picture of like the a giant like say Caesars and everyone's in the sports book watching news and all the tables are empty. That would have been a phenomenal picture.
The picture would be everybody at the sports book staring at hundreds of television screens watching sports and then a little burning tower in the corner.
Right, on the small screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was asleep on my buddy's couch who's in the Air Force, and he's in the Air Force Academy when this happened, and he woke me up running downstairs. It was at his mom's house. He was home visiting for some reason. So he was in Colorado Springs at the Air Force Academy, but he was home. So we were partying the night before. I was asleep on his couch, which was, looking back, kind of weird that I would just sleep on his couch and his mom would come down at like 6:30 in the morning, 7 in the morning.
Give you a blowjob.
Be quiet around me as she did her thing in the kitchen. But he comes running out. He's a big guy, 6'5", and he came lumbering down the stairs and to the point where I woke up before he was even all the way down the stairs. And he was reaching for the remote, reaching around me. I was deep in this couch, deep asleep. And as he's looking for the remote to turn on the TV, he's yelling, they're bombing the shit out of us. And he was freaking out. And seeing a guy like that, that big in the Air Force, freaking out, I knew something was going on immediately that was like worthy of my attention. Woke up, and then we just sat there on the couch for the next 4 hours.
You know what's painful about that? Is
and then I, being the jackass that I was, and I was way, I wouldn't let any of my sensitivity through back then at all. I completely just pushed it all down. So what did I do? I tried to make a little funny joke, and I went and left a outgoing voicemail, because I used to always have different voicemails on my answering machine. And I left a little voicemail saying, hey, guys, it's Anderson. I'm out of town this weekend. I'm in New York. I wanted to go to the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
And I left it on there for like 2 weeks. And some people thought it was funny. Other people were very put off by it. Yeah, terrible taste. I know. But at the time, that's how I wanted to deal with it. Yeah.
The people listening to the fall, I mean, listening to the information come in, which took weeks, by the way, if you remember. Like, it was, we didn't know at first, and then we thought this, and then it was this, and then it was just, you know, how the news doesn't get anything right, and it's right. All speculation, it's all a bunch of fucking bullshit. But listening, the stories that to me were the most horrific were, obviously, if you're trapped and the building's coming down, that's horrible. But, I mean, being outside of that little zone, like people that were on the roof of their buildings and watching it happen, to me, that is just total, absolutely...
Well, you could possibly say that's worse than being in the building.
But, no, I'm saying the stories.
Hey, you know where my dentist probably
the
was?
Stories.
He was probably telling someone that they need a root canal.
Yeah, he was
totally
probably,
healthy
he was probably drawing up plans for the new Twin Towers.
He's probably turning the TV off, saying, all right, I'm here now. Stop watching TV. Let's talk about your root canal on
patients.
All these teeth. All right, I got to go in there and push the button. I got to go push
that. All right, go push that button.
Whoa.
Move that bus. Whatever show that is where they move the bus, even though it's a huge buildup. They'll make a house for a family that's got a disabled child. All that's cheesy, goofy. I don't even give a shit. And you know they're going to lose the house anyway because they're super poor. But then when he yells, move that bus, and they move the bus and you see the family all choked up, that's when I get choked up. Because I'm sensitive. Every time I see a bus now and starts to move, I get all excited. There's going to be a nice shiny house behind it. Or some family with their... weird daughter that's got an allergy to the sun.
What are you talking about, Mike?
A show where
right,
he moves
Mike?
The bus.
I don't know. Yeah, you're still talking about the bus. The bus. I don't know that show.
You don't know that show?
No.
It's. I always cry at the end of it.
Is
always.
It? You don't know the name of it. Though.
Always. They rebuild a house for a less fortunate family, and they rebuild.
Is it still going? Did it get canceled?
I don't know, but they rebuild it too good for the neighborhood. And the family has no income or a very, very low income, and they clearly let the other house go to shit. So they're not going to keep it up. So, you know, it's going to get completely run down. And they put all these crazy extravagance. Like, it's always a kid that has some weird disability that's not normal. Like, they can't
Like Walter
breathe.
White's son.
Like, they have an allergy to water, so it's got to be completely dry.
I don't think that's a real thing.
Well, it's always... It's not always, but two of them have been something
Can you
really
imagine
obscure.
If sand and or water was flammable? Life
sand.
Would be difficult.
The beach would be way less popular. Mm-hmm. If someone threw a match on the ground, it was just a wall of fire going for miles.
A little special. Yeah. You know, how long would it be before someone fucked up?
We would all live in the middle of the country then.
Yeah.
On cement. The guy that invented cement would be kicking ass.
So they build a really nice house in a shitty neighborhood for...
Poor family can't afford their house. They come in, they rescue them, they pay the mortgage, they rebuild the entire house, they paint it some weird goofy colors, they design it around the kids or whatever. You know, if the guy really had a dream to be a cook, they build them like a master chef kitchen or something along those lines. I just made those things up. And then they bring that family back.
Pretty
up
much they allow them to win the lottery or sweepstakes, but they spend the money for them.
Yes. And I think they have a week to completely rebuild this house, so they work 24/7.
But they always got to stay in the same neighborhood.
Yes.
Why are we talking about
That's
this?
The problem. I would much rather, if I were that family...
Take the money and run.
I would say, how about taking that $95,000 or $295,000, whatever you're going to spend... putting in a weird pool so my daughter with an allergy to the sun doesn't have to go in a regular pool. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. I'd say just move us into a rental and pay the rent for 3 years in a better neighborhood. Because you're driving through this shit neighborhood. It's like shitty house, shitty house, shitty house, crazy blue house for the family with the kid in a wheelchair.
Yeah, a bit of a target.
Well, plus it's just going to get run down.
You know what would be a really good show is a reality show about that house after they leave. Because you know that they're getting like broken into at
you
night.
Know what? I could do that. We could do that reality show. We just need to find three of them.
Hey, buddy.
And go back and check it out.
It's true. It's true. Catherine Wood just walked in.
You know what? That's a great idea for a show.
To set somebody up Follow to be mugged and robbed on a regular basis and watch them and
No,
them?
We go
I'm
back and
sure.
we go, look at That's all the stuff idea. People have fixed and we go back and do a recap.
I don't understand. Oh, like to see how fucked up it is now?
Yeah.
I wanted to do a documentary on...
on lotto winners, lottery winners, people that have won, you know, become instant millionaires, and see where they are like a year later, because most all of them are fucked and they lose it all. And it would make people that lose feel better. You know what I mean?
There was a story about a woman who
it would
won.
Make people with no money feel
did
better.
Did we talk about that already in the
but
show?
But somebody else already did it and it's shitty.
Yeah. But did we talk about the girl that won like $5 million?
Nope. I don't know which girl you're talking about.
Spent it all on English chicks, spent it all on coke, tried to kill
I thought you were going to say English muffins. I would have been so happy about that.
That would have been good.
Yeah, what happens if you're completely insane and you win the lottery?
What happens?
I bet the state somehow takes the money.
You know
what I mean? Because, I mean, what's to prevent a guy from...
How do they know? How do they know?
Yeah.
You have no conscience if you're just handing over these giant checks to people that had no business buying
what happens
tickets.
If Reggie like wins like the super lotto,
he
like 720 million?
He probably keeps his job.
I bet you he does keep his job.
Because what else is he going to do?
What do you think he would do with the money?
Probably give it to a church.
I think you're right. He would give it to a church, and he would give half to a church and half to, like, anti-tobacco, and we'd have to see twice as many of those goddamn truth commercials. Mm. Fucking Reggie. Play that commercial. I play his message again.
Is he going to be out there when I leave?
No. He doesn't get here till midnight now.
Okay, good. Because I didn't take his call.
Well, that was one of the worst shows we've ever done.
No, it
I think we can all agree
no,
on that.
No, that was a good show.
Yeah, it was pretty
no,
bad.
That was a good show.
Dude, we were talking about dentistry and
I don't
Jeep.
Care. That was a good show.
Stories.
Good show.
Thanks for calling in, Nighty. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Maybe he tried to call, but we didn't take it.
Yeah, maybe because I was hiding the phone thing from you because you're not old enough or big boy enough to be able to look at it.
Good point. See you later. Good night, everybody.